Every time she went through it, it felt like there was something she could change, some minute detail that she could shift slightly as if her memories were a kind of time travel. She went to sleep, on her furs, in her home, and she saw them. First, when she agreed, when they all agreed, to come along. And she should have known then that the gifts that those people offered were too good to be true, that there was no such thing as free, not on the scale that they were talking about. They were never anything but a science experiment, and she'd been lying to herself. Of course, when they found out, no, there was no use going back that far. At least she'd tried. Then, before the end, as they each climbed into their tanks, as she punched in the codes and swore that this was the only way, everything burning around them, their whole tiny universe going straight to hell, and every member of the crew had their eyes on her, and she told them that they would survive. And then she pressed the button. Everything went black. Later, gods knew how much later, she opened her eyes, and they were there. And for some of them, it was already too late. She'd never meant to lie to them. She saw the fear in their faces, and every time she closed her eyes, she could hear herself saying that she would think of something. Every language she knew, she told them over and over again, as the days passed and their numbers thinned, that there would be a way. As those things pulled them apart, took their liberties, but there wasn't, at least, not fast enough for any of them. Just her, alone. She could do alone. At least there was no one left to fail. This is Pod Against the Machine.
Pod Against the Machine.
Welcome back to Pod Against the Machine, the only Pathfinder actual play that'll spray scalding, deadly steam in your face and leave you clamoring for more. I'm your host, and here's everybody.
It's us. We're back.
Hello.
We're back.
We were gone.
Ooh-woo.
Oh,
Whoever is editing it is not only leaving that in, but is replacing the monologue with just that, maybe twice.
We're going to multi-track that one, whoever edits this. That's an important official note. Let's see. Last week on the program, which was definitely last week, exactly 1 week ago today, the party had a battle with some mannequin robots, a disturbingly large number of mannequin robots. And there were some ups and downs to it. There was a lot of non-lethal damage, but eventually the very capable four, or whatever we're calling them these days, were triumphant. And they celebrated by taking a bunch of stun guns and then making their way a little further into the cave, where they found in the next room a big old Glaukai door hanging there. And it was locked, so Brixby tried to hacksaw the Glaukite door, only to trigger a trap and spray deadly steam in everyone's faces, doing quite a bit of damage. Now, Brixby assumed that, that kind of trap can't just automatically reset itself, and tried to unlock it again, and everyone got sprayed again, and it was a pretty bad scene for the party. And that's pretty much where we are now, after that second attempt, when everyone's been fairly badly damaged, and yeah, no time has passed.
Everybody get away from the door. Now. Into the room. Come on.
Brixby turns and looks at the party.
I am very sorry. I should have acknowledged after the first time that, that could have been like the oven. That could have been like the tower. And, what's worse is that I could actually try to unlock the door from all the way back here. But he kind of looks down at his hands.
and puts them behind his back in sort of a shamed way.
I don't think we should try tonight. I think we should go back to the Grove. Maybe come back here tomorrow. Well?
I think we should all take a nap. Maybe after some light healing.
That's probably a good idea. And then Alowyn will immediately heal himself 6 times with his last remaining Cure Light wounds and give one to, is it Levi or Tarazi that's down 68?
Tarazi is down 68. Levi is only down
and
37.
Oh, he'll live forever.
Then he gives his last Cure Light of the day. The only time I've so far in this entire thing since he was a character that I've run out of Cure Light wounds to Tarazi.
I'm also down 37. Samesies. And I high five.
Yeah, so I'll do some more rolling as we're on our way back. I have 4 more cure mods and then some wands, so I can get us up to full or close to it on the walk back.
Great.
Maybe those friendly, self-loathing androids have some sort of non-technological healing. We could find out.
I think you already went through their stuff and didn't find any particular healing on there. Oh, I'm thinking of different androids.
Yes.
You mean the maybe.
The people of the Prophet who are like,
oh, the Luddites. Is
bad. Maybe they might have a cleric or an oracle among them who could heal.
We also have a potential druid back at the Grove that might have some healing.
Awesome. If he even remembers us and doesn't just yell at us to get off his lawn.
That's fair. We don't have a lot of friends here.
So where are you heading to if you're backing out of the machine cave?
Were we gonna dimension door it?
We can.
Or are you out of
teleport? No, we can teleport.
Right,
we're a little far for DD. It will be a fun D100 roll. Because I have only seen the place once. But what is... Maybe we should walk, honestly. The more that I start to say that out loud, I'm like, the idea that we could, let's see, viewed once, I'd have to roll a 76 or lower, or we'd get off target, similar area, or a possible mishap. So, I mean, we run potentially a risk of...
I could teleport us back, but I've only seen the Grove once. And this magic's relatively new. There's a risk, I'd say like 1 in 4, that we might wind up somewhere else. We could walk, but we also risk running into anything outside. So, what do you think, Kira?
We're doing better on health, right? Everyone's at least feeling halfway decent. You know, if I were to put it into points, I might say 50%.
Yeah. I am above. Yeah. I am firmly above 50% now. So.
You saw that 17?
Yeah, that's the one I just threw in there.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. So that puts
me at
58.
I think Kira might be the lowest right now. Because you're the only one I haven't healed yet.
Yeah, and I have rage, so. It's fine. That'll never fail me.
Yeah, if you just want to rage for like 55 rounds, you'll fast heal yourself.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't plan to get in any more fights, you could just wear out the rest of your rage rounds to get the fast healing.
I have fast healing 2 now, so it would actually only take like 25 rounds.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So you can actually do.
Yeah, I could. You should just be really angry walking back home.
Yeah. Just like a surly walk.
Yeah, just stomp.
Stomping through the forest.
Just so mad he won't let me sleep in his bed, and he just stomp around for like 20 minutes.
I mean, yeah, it's not a terrible idea. I get those rings back. You know, we really just don't run into anything.
Yeah. What do you all think? Perhaps, like, we start to walk and things get harried, we could teleport.
Sounds reasonable.
I think that makes sense. If we run into something like those awful tree creatures again, or anything like that, we can use the teleport to escape, but hopefully nothing will attack us on our way back. It seemed fairly clear on the way here, other than what we've already fought.
Yeah, like, Sam would totally respect that we've had a long day, has used a lot of resources judiciously, and would certainly not impugn us with a wandering monster.
Of course.
It wouldn't be Sam, though. It would just be the dice.
You think there's a difference?
Also fair.
All dice are just mini plastic Sams or metal Sams.
Heard it here.
So we walk in for a little bit at least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so we're walking back to the androids or to Peter's?
Peter's. I think Peter. He offered us weird sucker.
Yeah, he said you could sleep outside in his general vicinity, but you could not come in his cave because it's his special cave. So if you're heading back, and I think by now coming out of the cave, like it's dark, but you all, of course, have dark vision as good adventurers. So it's not too bad. You do have to cross the river again, which you, between a flying disc and a swimming snake, is also no problem. But as you journey back to Pater's, can I get perception checks from the party?
No.
Let's see if I can remember how to do this.
How high
that's not it.
Perception?
Wow. Love this character.
Three.
Don't love that roll. 28.
Dirty 30.
I got a 2.
29.
Yes. I never win.
Well, I think Alwyn, it might be beyond his 60-foot vision range, maybe, but the rest of you, as you're walking through the forest and recrossing the valley, which, you know, does take a while, at some point, just hear, like, a little rustling and maybe some weird clicking, and it draws your eye. You just see, like, as you're turning towards it in the distance, some weird pink thing with long, thin legs, and it looks like insectoid wings, but it's like as big as a person, and it just darts off into the darkness going the other way.
Oh, that, can we roll anything on that?
Roll knowledge nasty.
Knowledge
you could roll a you could roll a knowledge nature, but it is going to be tough on a little bit of a only have like the barest glimpse of this thing.
It's a Great Lakes mosquito.
Nice.
Oh, well, that still rolled correctly, but that would be a 34. I put an exclamation point in there. Off of a nat 20.
Yeah. Wow. That strongly trumps my 11.
And my nothing.
I'm not sure what it is exactly that tips Brixby off. Maybe, I mean, just being out here, you're sort of on the alert for the bizarre, but you think seeing this weird kind of graceful creature with a bulbous lump for a head and these spiny sort of gossamer wings, and this tangle of long spiky legs, you think that thing was a Mego.
Oh, awesome.
Oh. I mean,
Spanish
I like...
Spanish for friend?
Yeah. Or like Mego away from the Lovecraftian nightmare? Or like...
No.
It was just on brand for Sam always saying it looks like a friend, and now he's looks like Amigo.
Amigo.
It, I mean, it's an Amigo. It's a Spanish for us.
Yeah. Buenas noches.
Flying fungus with Buenas a noches. Sombrero on it. It's an Amigo.
Did everyone else just see that?
What was it?
Yes.
This is odd. I've heard tell of people seeing these places they don't expect. It's an Amigo.
Did I learn anything about it, or was it just too, like, glancing at that point that even kind of a crazy role is like, I've just heard of my Amigo.
Well, let's see. You got a 34, so I think you got to get some questions here. I will say you have two questions on the noble Migo.
All right. Anybody have anything they want Brixby to know and then relay back to them? We normally have attacks and special qualities or special defenses are usually the three big ones, but...
I think special defenses might be an interesting one for them. Though I feel bad asking that because that's coming from, like, not having any idea how these work in Pathfinder, but knowing what they are, I feel like they probably have special defenses, so I feel bad asking that, but that's what I want to ask.
All right. And Izzy or Jeff, do you have any feelings about weird special qualities?
Or... I love a special quality.
I was thinking special abilities, but I'm good with whatever.
Yeah, special abilities. So we're going to skip attacks. We're going to do defenses and abilities. That sounds fun. All right, team. We're going to do it. We'll learn about the attacks soon enough. So Brixby will relay to them bits of knowledge relating to both the special defenses and special abilities of the noble Migo.
Well, you know that the Migo has damage resistance, though, of course, knowing what overcomes the damage resistance is its own question. What is this? Why am I on this page? This is weird. Okay, and it is resistant to both electricity and fire, immune to cold, and then it also, functionally, it's like a plant creature. So it has immunity to paralysis, poison, polymorph, sleep effects, and stunning, and any mind-affecting effects. And then you said special abilities?
Yes, I did.
They are masters of deception. They have racial bonuses to bluff and disguise checks. They are talented item creators. They kind of blur the line between magic and technology, and they can basically have free item creation feats. And they have starflight. They can survive in the void of space and fly at incredible speeds like some kind of moth.
And that's what they do.
So knowledgeable.
Very interesting.
We might want to ask...
I feel like I've heard of those before.
We might want to ask Peter about them. Perhaps he knows a bit more. My knowledge doesn't extend to the general disposition, aside from a penchant for trickery.
Brix is good on the healing after that 14, too.
Okay. How about Big Snake?
He's down 37.
Okay. So it's actually the one that had the most charges of the three. It's the only one I have left.
So you can take that 16, then, that's in there. That and another 16, because I didn't apply that to mine.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay, so I just need this one then. Levi that 16.
16 and 18.
And then another
nearly full.
6, 12, 18, plus another 5 on top of that is 23. Okay, then we're all good. And that's only 2 charges in that wand. That's perfect.
Excellent.
Well...
Do we see Pieter?
Do we see Pieter?
It looks like, since it is pretty late, it seems like maybe he's retired for the night. He's gone down in his cave as you arrive back here.
Now, when we talked to him earlier, did he say, like, we could sleep in the field, or did he offer to let us into the cave? Because one of those seems safer than the other.
He was pretty adamant that you weren't supposed to come in the cave.
Okay. I knew he didn't want us in his bed, but I couldn't remember if it was keep out of the entire cave or just his bed.
We're going to want to recover the Halic tomorrow, I think. Maybe move it a bit closer.
Because it can still maneuver around in here, right? Like, we could... Is it pretty much wide enough for us to Halic it down to here from... Because we kind of left it at the mouth of the Scar of the Spider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could bring it in this point, probably.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, disguise it as a tree or something in here.
Yeah, but don't tell Peter.
We just put a single, mutant carrot on top of it and be like, okay, we're good.
Come back and just find him watering the Halic.
I'll take first watch tonight.
Brixby's kind of interested to see if he's going to keep an eye out for that Migo.
All right. Well, it looks like Peter's not voluntarily coming out, at least. So if you all want to bed down for the evening, we can proceed into night watches. I assume you're keeping watches. You don't have to. Everybody can just go to sleep in this field in this normal valley if you want.
Yeah, everything in here, including the trees, has tried to kill us at least once. I feel like we should take watch. So who's taking first shift?
Bricks,
so you can look at your...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep an eye out for the Migo. And eagerly wait, just like some people do, till after midnight to complete the New York Times connections. So maybe, maybe I can do a little, goo cube. I guess that'd probably be after first shift. Whatever. I just wanted to shout out the connections crew.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you don't stay up that late on purpose. Sometimes you just suddenly realize it's 12:30 in the morning and the new one is out.
So what we're saying is join the Pod Against the Machine Discord so you can play connections with all the other people who are playing connections.
Which is basically everyone.
Come connect with us. Yeah. TM.
Hey.
I'm sure that's trademark somewhere. Yeah.
So, one thing Tarazi could do before going to bed is he can set up a trip line in a perimeter. I guess he could really only kind of cover 7 5-foot squares, but contiguous, including diagonally, to give a little bit of protection. Not like an alarm spell, but it's something.
Do it.
Or a little bit of a defensive perimeter.
Very own.
It's no exploding robot. But
Kevin McAllister of our group. Tarazi.
Just watch Tarazi carefully putting out matchbox cars all around the... So, Brixby, why don't you give me a perception check for your watch?
Perception. Go for it. Perception, it's a 33.
Everything seems quiet in this part of the valley for this part of the night. Get some good time to get some self-reflection in or play with the goo cube.
Yeah, just get to eat the paste, but it still doesn't taste good, so I know that it's still not midnight. And I'm like, all right, well, tomorrow.
I can take second watch.
All right. Do you want to give me a perception check for Kira's watch?
Oh, was on a 20 and rolled to a 2. So that is a 20.
With a total of a 20, things seem like they're pretty quiet. There's weirdly, like, no bug noises here and no bird noises here. As if, like, the bugs and birds are smart enough to stay out of this place, or if they're here, they keep quiet. But it's an uneventful watch.
Get the... Alwyn can take the third shift, because he kind of likes, like, the darkest part when he's up at night. So he'll take 3.
All right. Alwyn's perception check.
Yeah, that's a double-digit roll. Those are always fun to get. That is a 13 for a 12.
It's always fun hearing Alwyn's perception numbers. I think...
Yeah, I think he honestly isn't even, like, taking watch. I think he's looking through his holy book, like, trying to find, like, anything on... This thing that Zach this thing that Zach came down from the
hey y'all,
skies
what's
to describe, because he just knows it sounds familiar, but he hasn't found anything. But I think he just spends his entire watch thumbing through his book. He's not even watching. Tarazi told him there's a perimeter, and he trusts his snake friend.
Well, while Alwyn is thumbing through his book and kind of just hanging out, being peacefully oblivious as very normal fellow always is, he does get this weird feeling like there are eyes on him, like somebody's watching him. But I think, like, if he looks up, looks around, he doesn't see anything out there.
See anything? Yeah. You think he'll, like, make a mental note of that and then just go back to reading? Because he's going to assume if it didn't run in and attack him, it's probably not anything dangerous.
And the rest of the watch is peaceful. Whatever it was that was watching, it didn't come any closer, if anything was there at all. So how about the adventurous Tarazi?
Same as Brixby, it's a 33.
Wow. Unlike Alwyn, don't have that sense that someone's watching you. And it just seems that everything's quiet here. It's almost kind of nice in a way. And the sort of super late part of the night where, you know, morning's creeping in, maybe there's a little bit of light coming over the sheer rock wall. It's a nice little quiet time. But if we just go back in time just a little bit. Brixby, while you're sleeping away after your shift, trying to recover from an extraordinarily long adventuring day, you start to have some really weird dreams.
Oh, no.
Now, it starts in Chitterholm, but it's not right. It's the twisting tunnels of Earth that normally teem with life are deserted. And they've taken on like an oily metallic sheen, breaking at hard angles with sharp edges. Wires are dangling down from the walls, sparks dancing through the air. And you know this place. And you look up and you see that massive bowl-like structure in the sky. You hadn't even realized you were outside. But there's a huge antenna sticking out of it, pointing towards... And then the image is gone. You lose it. And you're falling through the dark, flashes of glowing butterflies blossoming into monstrous, unblinking eyes that whip past faster and faster as the wind pulls at your face and it stretches and the colors all run together. And then it changes, and you're floating? There's a thick, salty fluid all around you, filling your mouth and your nose, and there's bowed glass between you and the rest of the world, and you know that you've been here before. But this is all a lie. You know that the person that you are isn't you. But no, not like that. This is like something calling out to you. Like there's something reaching through the dark and pulling at some deep fundamental thread inside of you, making it hard to breathe. And that's it. That's the whole dream. Why don't you make me a will save?
don't want to do that. Is it against a spell or spell-like ability?
Yeah. Why don't you mark that down?
Excellent. Let's see. Not so hot, Cap. That's a 19.
All right. When you wake up, you are going to be fatigued, as this nightmare kind of made your sleep not particularly restful.
Rest, but then also he wakes up.
I feel awful. Can like a carrot give a hangover?
Well, sometimes bad beats can really mess you up.
Ah, yeah. Bad beat syndrome. It's true.
BBS.
BBS.
Did anyone else get a really weird feeling last night when they were on their watch, like someone was watching back?
I kind of enjoyed my watch. It was very quiet. Weirdly quiet.
I had a normal watch, but terrible dreams. Just kept me up all night. Does my face look stretched out like I was falling for a long time and like the air was getting in there in a very cartoony fashion? Feels rubbery.
No more rubbery
than
usual.
Doesn't look any more rubbery than normal.
Yeah.
It's the same thanks, level thanks, of rubbery. Slaps his rubber face back on.
Good to go. Actually,
no, it doesn't matter. Part of me is like, do you have lesser rest? Is that like a level 2 spell for Alowyn?
Which one?
Lesser rest, lesser restoration.
Yeah, I have lesser restoration. Though, question, if it's because of some weird dream effect, will lesser restoration fix? Well, I guess he wouldn't know that. He would just attempt it. So I'll burn the spell either way if you mention that you feel.
I mean, what's your level 2, like, that side spell situation look like? Oracle spells look like?
Like, I have a zillion.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Alowyn, if you don't mind, could you try to, you know, blast the sleepy seeds out of my eyes?
Click on night rest, all my spells refresh.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, so I have, 8 in that slot, and then I can also use my 7 level 3 sorcerers slots to cast other things in that slot. He will cast a lesser rest on Bricks, and does that seem to help his fatigue?
Yeah.
It does seem to wash away. It was just a normal bad dream. Nothing to worry about.
Totally nothing to worry about. Certainly not excruciating or scary.
So has everyone had a weird dream now but Alowyn? This is out of character.
I think so.
I guess Tarazi hasn't had one because that was Asher who had the weird dream.
Oh, yeah, no, Tarazi hasn't had any weird dreams.
It's just us so far.
I don't know what anybody's talking about with weird dreams. No, nobody's had weird
dreams. Oh, no. Weird dreams have come up before. Don't try to trick me.
I mean, if I just started the adventure with weird dreams.
Well, I think as you're all waking up for the day, Pater. comes hobbling out of his cave, and he'll wave to all of you with a like carrot in hand and say, "Good morning! I thought you'd be back."
Morning, Pater. I mean, there's nothing like starting your day in natural bounty. Boy, that's an oily looking carrot.
Oh, yeah, it's dripping with that good, good nature juice.
Yeah. Vitamin. Funny question. Pater, have you ever heard of a Migo? Or perhaps seen a pink, spindly, night-dwelling, bulbous-headed, bewinged creature perhaps flitting above the ground?
And he sort of pauses there, looking thoughtful as he takes a moment to eat his carrot like Bugs Bunny a little bit. And he goes, well, that's one of the butchers.
Oh, that's what the butchers
are. You didn't run into butchers out there.
Well, no, not really. They were pretty far away. No.
Brixby just starts looking sort of down at Pater's leg as he continues to say no in a quieting tone.
You should thank your lucky stars you didn't actually run into them. They are... Well, I don't think you'd be back here this morning if you had. Like I said, it's best not to go out any farther into the valley than this. There's only trouble out there.
Well, we will take it under advisement, because we certainly were in no state to defend ourselves last evening. I know we've pressed you about the butchers before, but how do we hide from them? How do you hide from them?
Well, I eat some of my mushrooms. That seems to trick them into not even being able to see you, at least some of them. And then, for the most part, I just, I stay in my cave in my little corner of the place, and they walk right on by. Perhaps they've had their fun with me, and they've moved on to other pursuits.
When you say you stay in your cave, do you mean you know when they're coming, or you just kind of hang out there as a fun place?
I just kind of hang out there and, like, here and, like, not really very far from this little vicinity that you can see. So if I have to, I can just run right on in there and just kind of be quiet until any danger is past.
Good. And I forgot about the powers of your mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, they're good stuff.
I'm going to hit that cube. Day 3. It has been so long since... It feels like it has been, like, months since we've gotten this cube, and this is literally just my third whack at it. So,
it's amazing how many months 3 days takes.
I know.
Truly wild. Well,
most of that was the last day. We had 5 combats.
All right, so I have to beat a 14... with this roll, which I did not do. I rolled a 3. It starts me back at 1. So dang. 2 days in, I ate some nasty paste. That's what I get for trying to do it right after I woke up. It's bad. It's real bad, and it gets worse as it sits on your tongue. I wish I had the ability to actively vomit. But...
It's because we spent the night in this horrible orchard with all of these mutant plants, and that's what it's been absorbing.
Yeah, it's sucking up all the scar of the spider juice.
Oily carrots.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, remind me again of Pater's bounty. We got the Heidi mushrooms, the speedy carrots?
The speedy peppers?
Perception carrots, speedy peppers.
Speedy peppers.
Yeah.
And then there was apples.
There was an apple, too, wasn't there? What did that one do?
I lost track of that.
They protect you from poison in the air. A +4 on all radiation-based effects for 24 hours.
Nice.
Sky metal.
Sky metal? Wow, who said that? Sky metal.
Sky metal for actually taking notes. But to be fair, I have notes of that somewhere. I just don't have them open because I'm not smart.
If you do want a piece of produce today, Pater will gladly allow each of you to take one once more.
We all grab some of those mushrooms.
Brixby is going to try his luck with the pepper.
Can we double up on what we take, or do we each have to take one?
You can double up on what you take. Nature's bounty is plentiful.
Yeah, because I was going to say the pepper is not really useful for me, and my perception is so low that the carrot isn't going to help with anything, so I'd like to take a mushroom.
How about Kira?
I'm going to take a mushroom.
All right, we got 3 mushrooms.
I'll take a mushroom too. Yeah, let's just get on there. Let's all do mushrooms. It'll be great.
Yay. Team bonding.
Let's go after the scar of the spider and do mushrooms.
Well, you know what they say. When in the scar, you do mushrooms.
Mushrooms, yeah. Saw that bumper sticker in your shop. Nice.
Put it on the hayloft.
Do you all want to put our hands in and do mushrooms at the same time?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 mushrooms.
Well, that's right, because we got to make rolls on him. I forgot.
Tarazi, who had been reaching for an apple, puts it back, gives him the peer pressure, and we'll be ready for 1, 2, 3 mushrooms.
River kids, submit to peer pressure and 1, 2, 3 mushrooms. Cut that out.
Yeah, that's Danon. Sorry, Tim's kid.
Oh, God. The kid, the rat says, do mushrooms.
These are normal mushrooms. They're just weird alien versions of normal mushrooms. So it's fine.
Oily hiding mushrooms.
Oily hiding mushrooms. Are they all 24 hours? I'm so sorry. I know we just went over this.
No, most of them don't last the full 24 hours. I think, let's see. Just apples and carrots last 24 pepper. Hours. The Pepper's mushrooms last about an hour, and so does the pepper.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, so maybe we probably don't
shouldn't
do
eat them yet, then.
Yeah. Don't
we
do
just,
mushrooms.
Just, like, toast them against each other.
Clink.
Toast. Clink. They definitely clink and reverberate like fine china. Yeah, that's very unexpected.
Well, that's the lead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was feeling myself become more violent for no reason.
Well, then.
We want to go hit a door with a ghost hand?
Let's go. Do that ledger domain at range. Like my iconic freaking prestige class gets at level 1. So hard to play a super smart character. Rixby's at, just for folks, he's at 22. Right? Like, that is so far from my lived existence. Take pity on me, people.
That's far from anyone.
No, right. Like, I am, like, I'm good if I've got, like, you know, I don't know, probably like a working 9 to 10 at any given time during the day. So he is at least twice as smart then as I am.
Because, I mean, isn't like the example for like an 18 intelligence is like Einstein and you're a 22?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The smartest rat.
Uh huh. And unfortunately, he's piloted by me. So.
Yeah, Algernon, eat your heart out.
I mean, that's why you give your character a 7.
Or an 8 for Tarazi.
All right, so we're making our way back over to the machine caves this morning.
Making our way
think
down.
So. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go get the Halic first? And
oh,
just get
yeah,
it
let's
done?
Do that.
Oh, yeah, maybe we should.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a little morning jog out of the valley back to get the Halic.
Hopefully those trees aren't back. Did we kill? We killed one of them, right?
One of them ran away.
Yeah, one of them greater teleported, okay. And there's no way to know where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every tree we go near, we throw rocks at until we're satisfied. So it takes
hey,
us
you tree!
Especially if there's like new trees there from the lat from yesterday.
Just a full-grown tree that was not previously there. Do we run into anything on the way to the Halic?
Well, you might. You might. Just as you're
what if we don't?
Making your way out of the what's it called? Out of Pater's farm and down through the sort of scrubby woodlands on the way to back to the Halic on the outside of the valley. As you're heading down, you see looming not too far ahead of you a huge figure kind of blocking the path here. And this I mean, it looks like it could be a giant, but it's got like a pair of drool dripping tusks and a gangly third arm coming out of one of its sides. Is a truly bizarre looking creature, and yeah, I think it might be time to roll for initiative.
Oh,
can't talk to him.
Classic initiative roll.
I need to throw that die away. I'm going to be using a different one.
Yeah, I think I'm done with this one. It's going in the dunce chair.
I have confused myself with the power of Foundry.
Flight.
All right, so.
It's unsettling.
Let's start at the top of my counter. How about Tarazi and Levi?
A dirty 20.
All right, they're looking pretty speedy. And how about the Rosie Kira?
Once again, it's initiative roll, so I rolled single digits. That's going to be a 10 total.
All right. The delightful Alwyn.
Well, my last initiative, I rolled a 3 for a 2. This time I decided to one-up myself and roll a 2 for a 1. Oh, actually, wait. My initiative is not my... We're not playing 2E.
That's not perception.
Yeah, we're not playing 2E, so that is a 2 for a 9.
Much better. That'll make all the difference. And the orderly Brixby, what order will you be?
A deathy 20.
All right, so let's see. Who has the better dex mod out of Tarazi and Brixby?
Brixby.
3.
2.
All right. Well, it doesn't want me to move you, so I'm just going to do that. And Brixby goes first.
Alrighty. Brixby is going to produce, first looking at the kind of large, imposing figure with the three arms, he is going to roll a knowledge first, if he could, on this creature.
All right, that would be a knowledge local.
I have that one.
Keep rolling this prompt, so that's only a 13.
13 total is not enough to identify this weird big fella. It's just big and weird.
Well, I no idea what it is, but acid!
And then pulls out an adder's tongue, a rhubarb leaf, and a dart, and shoots an acidic arrow against the touch AC of our friendo here. And it's a long-range spell, so that's 60 feet. Ain't nothing here.
Yeah, you can tell he's got a good touch AC just looking at him.
Alrighty. Alright, that is a 26 with a 17 off the bat.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Alright, so it's 3 points of acid damage and 17 points of sneak attack.
Alright. Well, it looks like that all goes through on this guy that you are just meeting for the first time.
Excellent. And because I am level 11, that will persist for, I believe, 2 more rounds.
I don't like that.
Maybe 3.
All right.
And that's my turn.
Okay, that'll bring us to the charming Tarazi and his friend who doesn't get an adjective for some reason, Levi.
Yeah, we'll throw an owl's local. Doesn't hurt in this dish. Oh, so much better than Brixby. A 15?
15 still does not identify this fun friend.
Man, really thought that was the difference maker. Wink.
It was close. Or closer, anyways.
Sure. He is... This creature, it is far away, and that's convenient. No one's in melee with it. Yeah, we'll just drop the null blade just recklessly to the ground. Draw their his orc horn bow and take a single shot. Oh yeah, it's a natural 18 for a 31.
Yeah, that will hit.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's 17.
Not too bad.
10 on 2d6. And Levi will ready to strike should this ogre-looking creature get within range. He'll move down 5 feet and then just ready to strike.
All right, and that will bring us to whatever this useless creature is. And it's going to move up in a single move action, and it's going to stop. It's going to stop about 20 feet from Tarazi, and it's just going to lean out with its extraordinarily long arms. At first, it's going to try to do a slammy do. Ooh, that is a natural 20. I don't want to tell you the total, but it's a high number.
Okay.
Good
roll to confirm.
On the roll to confirm, it is a less high number. It is only a 24.
Oh, not even close. It's just regular hit.
All right. Well, that is 17 bludgeoning damage on the slam. And then as a swift action, that third arm is just going to dart right out and go for a little claw. Oh, only a natural 2, so that's not going to hit the Acedonis Tarazi.
Okay. Didn't love it.
All right. Rosie Kira, you've just seen this thing hit from rather far away.
I have. And so I'm going to do the smart thing and charge up to it.
All right. It is going to slam you on the way in.
That's okay.
That is a 28 to slam.
That's such a good slam.
For 15 slammage.
15 slammage. Right? Kira's going to charge in with the chainsaw, which it's been a long time since I charged, but I think it's you add 2 to the to hit.
Yeah.
I'm going to use a different die. Let's try this one. That's a 1. That's a 1.
All right, the chainsaw explodes.
No. Down.
It's really sad.
It is really sad. Just some damage and no hit. So that's my turn.
All right. And
I'm going to use my extra turn to something to rage.
All right. Alowyn.
Alowyn is going to step about 10 feet closer so that Kira is within 30 feet of him, and then he is going to cast haste on the party.
So sweet.
All right, everyone is very fast.
And that will be his
turn. Top of round 2, how about Brixby?
All right, Brixby, hasted and not wasted, is moving real fast now. And he... that little bit of damage that I managed to do to it, and who else?
Tarazi shot it with the.
Tarazi shot it with him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How does it look like in terms of a dent on it, its damage? Does it look damaged at all?
It's a beefy boy. I mean, it definitely got hurt, but it's a beefy boy.
This could get really bad, really easily.
Especially seeing Kira run up close, Brixby's going to feel a little bit less cautious with his spell slots on this one. And he is going to reach really deep inside himself and cast from his opposition school, which again, he's a void elementalist wizard, and his opposition school is water. He is going to, with a word and a gesture, need a reflex save out of that creature as icy prison.
It's so reflexive. It has a chance of making this save, at least. Ooh, 17 on the die. We're looking at a total of 22.
You beat it by 1. You're still entangled, though. And you take 11 points of cold damage.
All right. Looks like most of that cold damage doesn't really bother this guy.
Well, it tried.
And, yeah, I think that's his turn.
All right. And that'll bring us back to Tarazi and Levi.
Yeah. Bummer. This thing's got reach for days. So, being as he does not have precise shot, he's not going to want to shoot now, despite the largeness of this creature. So he'll just drop the bow and pick up the sword again. It's one action, his move, and then with all of the speed that he has now from haste, he will just kind of move around to be diagonal with Kira in a flankeroo. Can't attack this turn, unfortunately. Would love a 3-action economy, but it's all right. Levi, however, can, especially with the speed that he has. So Levi will, and I guess we're finding out now if this thing has multiple attacks of opportunity. But
it doesn't seem to.
I haven't been interrupted yet. And as long as you keep talking and don't give the jam a chance, you can just do whatever you want. Levi's gonna try and bite it. I'm sure it tastes delicious.
Oh, yeah. It says right in the description, definitely tastes very good.
That is a number, and as we all know, it's a dirty 30.
Dirty 30 will hit.
Max 19 points of bitey do, and of course, an attempt to grab. It's a nat 20 on the grab attempt.
Oh, dang.
So, does it have a CMD exceeding 40?
It does not.
Okay, it's grabbed.
It doesn't like that at all.
Glad to hear it. It's going to take 12 constrict damage as well.
Yeah, constrict it.
Snake squad out just for this round.
You've certainly gotten its attention. It's mad. It's very mad. It's grappled. It's surrounded. Let's see. It's probably pretty confident that it can escape the grapple. But at the same time, is that what it wants to do?
And it's still entangled.
That's true.
It's all bound up.
It's just like a tangly mess of ice and snake goop and... It's a bad situation. I think it's going to try to take over the grapple on the little snake. This little tiny goopy snake that has the audacity to wrap around it. That is... How's a 40 sound for taking over that grapple?
Successful.
And just that extra little arm is going to just dart out for a swift claw. This time with... No, it can't. I can't put on power attack for the Swifty Claw, but that is a... Why can't I do math? A 33 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
I guess it's actually a 29 to hit.
Because of the grab. Oh, beats it because of the grab.
So that is 18 slashing damage for the claw.
Ouch. Yeah, with haste, Big Snake's AC is 30, so that would have missed. Ah.
Well, the useless, horrible monster thingy here. His turn is over. He's grappled. Well, now he's grappling, but also grappled and entangled and flanked. And Kira is up.
All right. Time to stand and bash. That is a 29 on the first hit.
Yeah, 29 will hit.
What if I try rolling them all at the same time and then roll my damage at the same time? What if I do that? Okay, one hit. That is a number that's too big to do in my head. 33, I think. Yeah, 33 on the second hit. Another one on the third hit. And a 22 on the fourth hit.
So you're looking at two hits.
Great. One, two, three, four. 5, 6 plus 44. Let's roll this one in the just for math's sake. Roll 6d6 plus 44. It's a lot of ones. 65 points of chainsaw damage.
All right, that is a big chunk. He's looking rather hurt now.
Aha.
He's got this big old frown on his face.
And that's my turn.
All right, Alwyn, stepping into melee with this guy?
Yeah, definitely. Instead of that, he is going to hit it with something that it needs to make a fortitude save for, please.
All right. That is a 26.
That is a pass. But he is still going to take some damage from the bone shatter. So that is going to be half of 11 d6. Wow, that's a lot of d6s. I'm going to roll that in here.
Bold of you to assume he has bones.
He looks like a bony guy.
So I don't have to click this 11 times. Is it slash R in this one? Yeah, okay, slash. 6.
Love throwing a handful of d6.
So he is going to take half of 39. So that is...
19?
I don't know how math works. 19, because he would round down. And he is... It's a new spell, so I can't remember if... He is fatigued for 1 minute.
Entangled, fatigued, grappled, and surrounded. It's not very nice.
He started this fight.
That's true.
We were just taking a walk in the woods.
That brings us to the orderly Brixby.
The orderly Brixby is going to delay. It's looking at his limited spell slots, and this thing's getting its butt kicked. But I could reinsert.
This poor thing. All right, Snake Squad, back in.
Yeah, Snake Squad. Null Blade in hand, flanking. We're just going to take hasted 4 power attack swings with this. See what happens. Three misses. However... 1 natural 20.
Sometimes 1 is all you need.
Oh, totally not going to confirm with a 15. Just trash rolls.
No, still a hit.
At least max, it's going to be 24 points of damage. Unless it's a construct, I can roll you 2d6.
It's not a construct, weirdly. Now, 24 takes it really, really low here.
Does it count as an aberration?
It does not.
Does it count? Is it definitely a human? Just the weirdest human I've ever seen?
It's humanoid.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Humanoid.
That's all right. We'll
accent on the oid.
Levi, whilst grabbed, will still... try and bite at this thing. Uh, 29 probably hits.
Yep.
Not a dirty 20 well grabbed though, probably.
What was the question?
What about a dirty 20 while he's grabbed and tangled and fatigued?
Dirty 20 does not do it.
It seemed unlikely.
Very close with all these negatives, but just not quite there.
What about 16 points of bitey damage?
That is going to end the reign of terror of this.
Yeah.
I'm clicking the wrong buttons. There's the dead button. This useless thatch falls to the ground with a giant thump, releasing the grapple from the snake. And ending combat.
Awesome.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Well, that was kind of gross.
I really don't like that.
It's sad that it came to blows. I'm sure he probably could have given us a hand. Hey, because he's got 3 of them. Spin around on the disc. It's like how he shows that he's made a joke.
V-mods on.
V-mods. You're pushing him down. Does this guy have anything besides a loincloth?
Looks like he had some rocks. That's about it. Oh, wait, no. There
are
is
they leprosy
a,
rocks?
There's a couple. There's a huge size leather gemstones? Armor. A huge size leather shield that he doesn't use.
Nice.
Weird.
That guy has 3 arms and he's still not carrying a shield.
Yeah, nope. That's really not an excuse for that one.
So there you go. Huge size leather armor, huge size heavy shield. And he couldn't spare an arm for that shield to bump up his AC a little bit more.
A third arm just sits at a sassy half akimbo at all times. That is.
Yeah.
Tarazi will go pick up the horn bow.
This is like a really dangerous thicket. Should avoid this specific thicket.
It's weird how many thickets look just the same in this place.
That's right.
Only to us untrained eyes, you know, to Tarazi, I'm sure they look very different. But the player behind Tarazi just sees the same map.
Yeah. And they just always have a random different monster right in the middle of them every time.
Well, shall we continue on? Or is it time for bed?
Do we... Yeah, do we rest well thing? It was kind of humanoid. I feel like a little bad.
I wonder why he just attacked us without even saying anything.
I mean, he didn't, right? Like, we attacked him first.
We were just forced into initiative.
Yeah, but Jeff, he was armed.
Sorry. Yeah, no, Sam said roll initiative when we saw him. We just rolled higher.
It's too bad, because he was going to just say, like, hey.
I give the best hugs.
I was going to say, three arms. I've got this shield I don't need. If you want it.
You could all hold it up in front of your entire party together.
Just becomes a mobile bulwark.
Levi could hold it with his tail.
Yeah, or Levi could wear it as a cool hat. A really big but cool hat.
It'd be awesome.
Those are the best kind of hats.
Yes. Yeah, token collide. Oh, there we go. All right. To the Halic, then.
Yeah, nothing else bothers you on the way out of the valley. Smooth sailing. Perhaps some things saw you beat up this three-armed giant and give you a wide berth. And the Halic is out there right where you left it, disguised as, I don't remember what.
A mattress with some like mac and cheese spilled on it or something like that. I'm trying to remember. It was like a twin-size bed with a big barbecue stain or something terrible. But like something you just like would not under any circumstances go near.
A leather sofa, but the seats are all cut up.
Yes.
Just the most off-putting thing you can imagine. Yeah, so as you pull the stake out and get back in your hovercraft, I think that's a good time for me to go to bed.
Good night, Hover Sam.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, Sam. Good night, Craig.
Pod against the machine.
Against the Machine is property of Network Against the Machine, LLC, all rights reserved. Pathfinder and the Iron Gods Adventure Path are property of Paizo Publishing. See their website for more details. Theme Against the Machine was written and performed by your own Zach. See the show notes for additional music and sound licensing. If you enjoy the show, we encourage you to leave us a review.
Downloading world data. Please wait. World data?
Both.
Game is paused.
World data? Let's buy that one.
World data.
Data.
Yes. I would like to interview for a data scientist position. Hello, are you still there?
Boop. I think Prixby is going to pick a pack of pickled peppers. Prixby is not a good way to say that, so let's start that again.